Zach, we are in the most crucial time of the year for sports.
It's, yeah, man. I mean, midway, coming up on midway through the NFL season, hockey's back, basketball is back, the Astros aren't in the World Series. Life is good. Life
Life
is good.
is good.
Welcome back to Breaking Down the Tape. It's been a minute since you've heard my voice, but it's been 2 weeks since you've seen us, or well, Breaking Down the Tape collective us. Here, it's been busy, man. How you doing?
Not bad, not bad. Life, like you said, takes us for a loop. Gotta do life duties before we can have fun with the fans.
Ain't that the truth, man? Work has been kicking my ass. I feel like that's all I've ever done is work and sleep for the last like fucking month. These glasses.
Yeah.
I wanted to wear my sunglasses, but they're all fucked up.
Holidays is coming up too.
Gotta make that money. Gotta make that money.
So
But
we got some big things, Zach. We got Baseball World Series.
yo.
No Rangers. I mean no Astros. So we got the Texas Rangers, the best team of Texas.
Yup.
And we got the Diamondbacks.
Who just 2 years ago, didn't they only win like 20 games or
They
some
lost
crazy fucking thing?
110 games 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's insane. So what's that? 40 games that they won, 50 games that they won? That's insane. And now they're sitting in the World Series. That's awesome. Props to
Taking out
them.
the
Kudos to
Phillies
them.
in seven and the Rangers taking out the Astros in seven. That Rangers, another team that lost like 101 win games 2 years ago.
Yeah, man, this is good for baseball. It's good to not, I mean, obviously as a Yankees fan, we want to see the Yankees in, right? But it's good to not see your typical Red Sox, Astros, no one from the NL. I guess the Phillies are becoming a perennial powerhouse out of the NL. But it's good to see a mix-up of teams and have this style of parity where you're going to get new teams every year. So
Yeah, excited to see how this World Series plays out.
who you
And
got?
think the Rangers got too much. The Diamondbacks is like a Cinderella story. Like they shouldn't even have been there, but good for them. But the Rangers, like, they're a legit team.
Yeah, I can respect that. I can respect that. I'm taking the Diamondbacks because I want the Cinderella story, but I do agree with you. The Rangers, just from management all the way down to playing, has been fantastic, especially in this postseason. So we'll see how it plays out. We've got hockey starting. Obviously, not too
Yeah.
much craziness going on. I think
Rangers playing pretty decent. They, nice little start to their season.
they added Jonathan Quick in the offseason. So he's playing a goalie as well. So that's nice to see. And hockey started. I don't really have much to say. It's been like six games.
And the basketball season has just kicked off yesterday. Denver Nuggets get their ceremony and the rings and the banner hung. And tonight, the Knicks kicked off against Boston. Tight matchup going into the fourth quarter, about 2.5 minutes left of the third. As of right now, Boston is up by six.
Yeah, I just checked the score here on the app, on the ESPN app. But down by six, going coming close to going into the fourth. I like it. I saw that who was leading over there for the Knicks? Was it Quickley who was leading in points for the Knicks?
He actually, as of right now, RJ Barrett got 16.
Barrett. Okay, that's who
Quickly, I believe, has 12. Yeah, he has 12.
Okay. That's good to see your
And this
guys
is
stepping
coming off a bad shooting night. Like they've missed a lot of shots. They're only shooting 36% from the field.
See that?
Like they missed a lot of shots. They're 11 for 26 from three right now, though. So that's what's keeping them in the game because they're
Yeah.
shooting 42% from three. But like Brunson 5 for 15, Randle 4 for 19. Like they're not making buckets. If not, they'd be up.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, fucking 51% shooting to 36%, and they're only down by eight with, 2 minutes left in the third. That's not a bad place to be. It's not great when you can't fucking make shots, but when there's that kind of discrepancy in fucking shooting percentages, at least you're in this game. You know, you'd expect, looking at those shooting percentages, you're down by fucking 20, 30.
So. I expect a big season for the Knicks. Let's get another playoff spot. Let's consecutively show up into that that time of year, and hopefully.
Yeah, you already know what it is. You already know what it is. Knicks and six. That's the motto here. That's what we're going with. It's never going to change. Knicks and six. But let's talk about some football, man. It's been a wild couple of weeks. You know, we were talking about it in pre. You know, obviously the Jets sitting at 3-3, coming out of a week 7 bye. You know, losing Aaron Rodgers 4 plays into the fucking season, and here we are sitting at 500, and having beaten the Bills, and then obviously, you know, in week 6, beat the Eagles.
Yeah,
undefeated Eagles.
This was crazy. There are no undefeated teams left. The Browns ended up beating the 49ers. That was also big. But it's crazy how with Aaron Rodgers, they were saying, you know, our first 6 games before the bye are one of the hardest in the schedule, and would be lucky with Aaron Rodgers to get out of that 3-3, maybe 4-2. What we did, it was Zach Wilson.
Yeah. And look, and I was just telling my wife this, you know, I was telling Sarah this yesterday. I'm not on the Zach Wilson bandwagon. I'm still not on it. I still wish we had almost anybody else. But he's cut down on the turnovers. Still holds the ball a little bit too long. Still has no pocket presence whatsoever. But he's getting better. And you can see the flashes of where Aaron Rodgers is clearly rubbing off on him. Like late in the fourth quarter when they did that little end around, you know, little flip that they did, the fake handoff and then flip on the end around jet sweep. Fucking the way he held that ball down, looking like he was, you know, just trying to walk away from the play. That was a very Aaron Rodgers like moment, the way he held the ball. So it's in those little things that you're starting to see Rodgers kind of take hold, you know, that mentorship.
Well, I feel like ever since the KC game, you know, Patrick Mahomes told him, like, you got all the talent, just go out there and play, don't worry about nothing else. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, these last couple of games, being on the sideline with a headset on, helping the offensive, Nathaniel Hackett and the offensive crew that they got with some plays that he would recommend running at certain times that might help Zach, which I think is huge. Like, he can read the field and be like, look, this is the best play I think Zach will flourish in. Why don't we run this play instead of going with something that you would want to run right now, thinking that I'm on the field.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I mean, clearly you're seeing a big difference since Aaron Rodgers came back to the team. I mean, in culture shift, because, you know, once he left and the Jets were kind of stuck in those first couple of games, we heard a lot of noise coming from the Jets locker room, a lot of, you know, pissing and moaning. And then Aaron Rodgers comes out and, you know, guys get fucked, stop being a bunch of babies. Let's tighten this shit down. That shit kind of stopped. We're starting to see the team come together more.
And you know what? Like you said, Zach Wilson, you're starting to see. So he had a couple bad games. You know, Buffalo, he comes in because Aaron gets hurt. He gives us a decent game. We win, you know, defense showed up. Then we get our shit pushed in for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But then we come back and we have a decent game against KC that we could have easily won. Mm-hmm. You know, it was down to the wire. Obviously, KC has the experience and can close that out. But Zach played very well there.
Yeah, he did.
Then he goes into the next week and we get a win. And then he goes into, you know, the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And just continued to, and once he got to the Eagles, he took more chances. He was actually slinging it down the field. He was just throwing it up and on one-on-ones. He saw man coverage on Garrett Wilson. He's looking at them and saying, you can't get him.
I was going to go right to that play.
So why not throw a 50-50 chance and hopefully he brings the ball down more often than not?
Yep. Yeah, there was 2 times where he had Garrett Wilson in man coverage. One in the end zone, and he underthrew the ball, and Garrett made a nice play to stop the interception. But he had one where it was clearly a checked play. Garrett Wilson was man-to-man. I don't remember where they were on the field. They were driving down. I think they were in Eagles territory. It was like first and 10. Garrett Wilson was man-to-man on the outside with soft coverage. And Zach checked the play, snapped the ball, took one step back, slung it over to him, and let him go do his work. That's what you have to do. Get the ball to your playmakers. Let them go make plays. If you ever see Garrett Wilson on one-on-one coverage, soft coverage, you fucking throw him. I don't care what the fucking play call is. I don't care where we are on the field. You get that man that fucking ball. And that's exactly what Zach did. And is it small? Sure. It was only like a 5-yard gain. But it was big to see him go, oh, hey, I have this matchup. I like that matchup. Let me go do that thing. It's good to see intelligence develop here, because that's the big thing for him. He doesn't read a field well. He doesn't fucking – he's got the physical attributes. He's just, for whatever reason, can't put his mind into it.
I mean,
so it's nice to see
those moments. It's a confidence thing, too. Like, you want to get him in plays where he's comfortable in, you know, play action, bootlegs, get him moving out of the pocket, get him trying to see the field better, and quick plays. It's 1, 2, 3, dump the ball. You sling it up, you give him a chance, you let the playmakers, you know, between the 5 and 10 yards, you get it to them, you let them do the rest. And every now and then, he's getting the open looks, you know, taking those 15, 20-yard throws, and Garrett Wilson's coming down with the ball. Alan Lazard's making plays. Conklin,
yeah.
And Breece Hall is doing Breece Hall things. Dalvin Cook looks like he's potentially going to get traded. I feel like they're not using him properly and not blaming. I don't think it's Dalvin Cook's fault. But Breece Hall is also showing why he's Breece Hall. And it's okay to move on from him because I'm here.
Well, that's exactly it. And the Jets have such a big depth in the running back room. I mean, again, Michael Carter getting lost in the shuffle. Is he getting lost in the shuffle? Like you said, Breece Hall and Dalvin Cook. So they've got a big running back room that they can move on from him. And I don't know. I feel like they were using him. And then you made mention of the comment he made, I think, like after week 1 or week 2, that, oh, he just came to the Jets because he wanted to take handoffs from Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. I feel like ever since that comment came out, they haven't really given him the ball a lot. Is there a personal issue with the team? I don't know. But regardless, I don't think there's any poor decision-making in moving on from him. You know what I mean? Like, you've got such a strong depth at running back. Why not? Sell him to a team. If the fucking Ravens don't get Derrick Henry, sell him to the Ravens. Sell him back to Minnesota. Fuck. They've got a run game. You know, but it kind of brings up a good point. Before we get into, you know, how the Jets are sitting on the season, what, you know, looking forward looks like. There's been a lot of trade rumors around the Jets. Obviously, they moved Mecole Hardman back to Kansas City. You just brought up the Dalvin Cook trade rumors. There's been Carl Lawson trade rumors. There's been news that came out that the Jets have received phone calls for Bryce Huff, which they're not going to move, but they've at least taken the phone calls. Where do you see the Jets? With the trade deadline closing in, where do you see the Jets? What do you think they're going to do?
If they do anything, it'll be more of the selling end.
Yeah.
I don't see us, unless it's something absolutely drastic, I don't see us being much buyers. Joe Douglas has been known to, you know, hefty up the draft picks and keep having just a surplus of different, you know, positions. And you could just kind of plug and play depending on who's showing out. I don't see us being sellers.
Yeah.
Unless it's something small, like, you know, I don't see us being buyers. So unless it's something like crazy big.
Yeah.
That's going to define us, you know, in that so-called Super Bowl aspect again.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. I can see, you know, the Jets moving a piece like Carl Lawson and a couple of draft picks for Kirk Cousins and that being our big buy move. Still not a big fan of it, but I don't think that that's – I think the chances of that are low going out and shopping for a quarterback because Zach Wilson is getting the job done. It's ugly as fuck, but he's doing it. And Aaron Rodgers is on the recovery path for week like 17, 16. He might be coming back before the fucking playoffs. So if we're on a path of getting to a point of being, we're one game down behind Buffalo and we have the tiebreaker with them. So, and we have yet to play Miami at all. So if the Jets can fucking, you know, get to a playoff push, which they're on pace for right now, I don't know. I don't see the need for a quarterback. I don't think we need anything. I saw someone on Twitter made mention of a big name receiver with, Devontae Adams to the Jets. Someone said something about that.
He's not that happy over there in Las Vegas right now.
Yeah, I know he's not happy, but why? Other than pairing him back up with Aaron Rodgers, I don't know. I think we're kind of okay on offense. I'd be okay if we went out and got like fucking some decent offensive linemen. AVT again out for the season. You know, yeah, I'd be okay rough. With what?
I say, yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, man, he just can't.
Joe Tippmann seems to be coming back though. He's back on track. It wasn't as serious as they initially thought.
Yeah, that's true. That has been a plus for us. But I could see them hopefully getting some pieces, you know, at the lineman position. But other than that, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right now, things are going good. There's no quarterback that I would sell the farm for. You know, obviously, you know, you're Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, you would trade every fucking pick that you ever had for Patrick Mahomes. But it's never going to happen. Casey's never going to let him go. So there's no point in even entertaining that thought. You know, but the guys that you can get, I don't know. It's not broke right now. We're 3-3 without Aaron Rodgers. It ain't broke. There's nothing that I'd be like, yes,
let's go. You just got to stay true to what's been working right now. Stay true to what's been working. You ride the defense. Shit, we beat the Eagles without our two best corners.
I forgot that completely. DJ Reed.
With only four DBs on the active roster.
Yeah, we beat them with a kid that we just pulled up that fucking day from the practice squad who was out there making plays. So, I mean, I agree with you. I don't, like I said, defense is fine. If you want to move somebody like Carl Lawson, we've got a lot of depth at the D-line position. You know, go ahead and go get those picks. But there's nobody right now that I'm like, yes, that guy. If we can get Devontae Adams on the low, I'm not going to not take him. But I don't think there's anything that the Jets need to go out and be like, we need him or we lose kind of situation. Yeah.
I'm more inclined to say what you said earlier. And, you know, if we are going to be a potential buyer, you know, try to get someone to kind of fill ABT's spot right now. Try to get, you know, a backup lineman or a possible starting lineman that we can plug in knowing that our guys are getting injured right now.
Right. Right. And I mean, look, I would sell some decent fucking draft picks for Zach Martin from the Cowboys. Like somebody that proven, I wouldn't mind giving away some high pricing. But again, it's the same thing as the Patrick Mahomes conversation. It's not going to happen, so there's no need in entertaining it. Although Jerry Jones did say he's looking to make a splash before the trade deadline, so we'll see what happens there. But I doubt it. I don't think the Jets will go after anything like that. Anyway, coming off the bye week this week, did see some news. DJ Reed and Sauce are still in concussion protocol.
I saw that too. I thought it was weird that they were even, like, everything seemed fine leading into the Eagles game. And then, like, a couple days prior to the game, is like, they're in concussion protocol. And I'm like, but where did they get a concussion?
Yeah, I thought that was weird too. I don't know if it's one of those like we didn't want to make it a healthy scratch situation. Like I don't know. For them to still be in concussion protocol, I don't know what happened. But I don't know. I mean we're playing the Giants. It's not necessarily like we need them, but obviously you want your best guys on the field at all times. You know, you never want to take anything for granted because knowing the Giants game is the game that they'd lose by fucking 40 points.
And the Giants, you know, as slow as they started, they were 1-5. They beat the Commanders 14-7. They played pretty well. They should have scored more points. You know, their offense is just starting to click a little bit right now. There's no Daniel Jones. They got Tyrod Taylor playing. But Tyrod Taylor is getting to the ball to playmakers. Saquon Barkley is having, pretty good games of late. And Jalin Hyatt, the rookie wide receiver, he's actually had a couple nice, decent games these last couple days or weeks. And
I'm wondering
why they paid Daniel Jones that much money if Tyrod Taylor is outplaying him right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, Daniel Jones has been one of the biggest misses. And I'm not talking about the drafting of him. I'm talking about, like, the re-signing of him has been one of the biggest misses in a very long time in the NFL. Like, that was – I've always been a known Daniel Jones hater, so I'm kind of reveling in the fact that he's not doing well because I fucking told everybody he's not that good of a quarterback. But
I like Daniel Jones. I just think he was overpaid.
Yeah, well, I mean, 100%.
He definitely was not worth that money. Like, and if anything, you should have did what was the smart move, and you should have paid Saquon and worked out Daniel Jones to the max of his deal and make him really earn it.
100%. 100% agree with that. But speaking of, obviously, we're playing them this week, 1 o'clock Sunday. As of right now, Mekhi Becton, Irvin Charles, Michael Carter, DJ Reed, and Sauce are all on the injury report as questionable. For the Giants, they've got Saquon Barkley, Darren Waller, Graham Gano, Kayvon Thibodeau, and Gary Brightwell, all as questionable as well. Obviously, those are up to game time decisions and can change. With that being said, how do you think this game is going to go? What are you looking at?
This one's – I feel like this is going to be a really, really good hard-fought game. I think both defenses are going to try to make us, like, stand in a staple point and try to start the game off, like, off the rip. I'm taking the Jets on this. I think the Jets are riding this hot streak that they've been on, playing well, and obviously their defense is more – a more known scary defense in the league compared to the Giants. So I got to take the Jets here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm agreeing with
24-16.
You. 24-16. Ooh, 24-16. Okay. And it's funny, I'm just looking at a couple of things here. They're both on win streaks. The Jets are on a 2-game win streak. The Giants obviously on a 1. They're coming off of a win last week against the Commanders, like you said. They total yards and passing, extremely similar. They have the Jets have 182, the Giants have 207, the Jets 117 on the ground, and the Giants just about 100 on the ground. So their total yardage is sitting within 7 yards of each other. Yards allowed, sitting within 0.7 yards of each other. So they're really both sitting right at the same level, like statistically speaking. Obviously, I agree with you. I got the Jets in this. Now even Zach Wilson and Daniel Jones's numbers look similar. Zach's got 200 more yards and 2 more touchdowns, and Daniel Jones has 1 more interception. So, man, yeah. I mean, Breece Hall, Saquon Barkley, similar. I've got the Jets. I got the Jets by a significant amount. Honestly, I got the Jets by like fucking 16. Like, I'm talking like a fucking like 9-25 kind of score. I don't think the Giants are going to score any touchdowns.
All field goals for the Giants.
Yeah, I don't really like anything about the Giants' offense. I'll be 100% honest with you.
I'd be damned if they get a safety.
Yeah, right. and the Jets' offense, obviously, I'm not in love with them, but they're doing the job. And the Giants' defense is good. I just don't think it's that amazing. I don't think Kayvon Thibodeau is as amazing as everyone says he is, but he will cause trouble for an injured Jets line. So if they could just, like you said before, get the ball out quick, 3-step drops, don't let them fucking, you know, get on top of you, get the ball out of there, up the middle, shove the ball down their throats.
They still got rookie corners. You can't Garrett Wilson go out there and make them change their mind about playing man coverage.
Yeah. Yeah, and if they're in zone, still fucking throw it over, swing it over to Garrett Wilson. Let him go fucking beat him on soft coverages. One way or the – and then obviously you have Lazard, you have fucking Randall Cobb. I mean, there's – the Zach Wilson has plenty of security blankets, and in this game, I don't think – there's no – honestly, there's just no way that the Jets should walk out of this with a loss.
I want to see more of that Xavier Gibson, because now with trading Mecole Hardman, although we still got Randall Cobb, they're saying that Gibson is more of like the third receiver than Cobb is.
Oh, yeah. Gibson is definitely your downfield threat. He's definitely the guy who's going to step into that Mecole Hardman role of this is our speedster, 100%. I love that kid. I love Xavier Gibson.
I want to see him more on the field. I feel like he's electric. You just jet sweeps, just however the ball, you toss it to him, you just dump it to him, you let him go deep. He's one of those guys, you just get the ball in his hand and let him move. I get some blockers around him and just let him move.
Yeah, that I agree with that wholeheartedly. Get him the ball in space. Get him the ball on the run and watch that kid go do his thing. Like, I think I can't imagine that wouldn't be the game plan. Like you said, you're playing against rookie corners. Go make them pay. If they want to be in man, make them pay. If they want to be in zone, then just dink and duck. Like, there's no way the Jets walk out of this with a loss in my mind at fucking all. At all. And then week 9, I just want to look ahead real quick. Oh, I know this game because I'm going to it. The Jets play the Chargers on Monday night. I'm fucking excited for that one. I'm going to be in the Meadowlands all day, drunk as
pissed. That's a big one. Big one because I've been – okay, so the other week, right after the Eagles win, I looked up the remaining schedule for us, the schedule for Pittsburgh, Chargers, mm-hmm. and the Browns.
It's oddly specific.
And, yes, because they're all potential playoff teams and wild card fillers.
I see.
And the Jets have a huge game against the Chargers because right now they have the better record than the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
The Chargers have been losing. I think the Chargers are 3-4 right now. So if they can beat the Chargers, that'll be huge down the road if they end up somewhere around the same record.
Well, let's take a look at the remaining schedule for the Jets. So obviously we've got the Giants, then the Chargers like we talked about. Then we have the Raiders. Then we have the Bills again. Then we have the Dolphins on Black Friday. Falcons. Texans. Dolphins again. Commanders. Browns. And Patriots. Oh, we end the season against the Patriots. So that's kind of like an up and down schedule, man. I mean,
it is.
If we can fucking get to the Chargers on a little 4-game win streak, I'll be happy, or 3-game win streak, and then go into fucking, where's the game? Week 10, and then go into fucking Las Vegas. I mean, I'm okay with that. I like and a primetime game in Las Vegas as well. I'm really liking it, man. The way the Jets have been playing, I know, again, we've said it 10 times, 3-3, but holding it down, I'm okay with it. We don't have, like, super hard back-to-back games. It's usually a hard game followed by a soft game followed. So there's, you know, up and down weeks. You don't have to pull magic out of your hat fucking multiple weeks in a row. The Jets are making a playoff push. I'm telling you, the Jets are going
to
make
a playoff. To me, it all comes down to if Zach Wilson can continue playing the way he's been playing right now. If you ride out the defense, you run, you pound the ball with Breece Hall, and you just play freely, just get the ball into the playmakers' hands and let them do the rest.
I couldn't
overthink. You don't just go out and just get them the ball in the hands.
Yeah, I can't begin to agree with you more. I mean, obviously, I'm not a fan of the turnovers. He's got 5 interceptions on the season with only 4 touchdowns. But he's got a little over 1,000, almost 1,100 yards on 110 completions or whatever it is. So, I mean, he's throwing for about 10 yards a pass, which for Zach isn't fucking bad. I don't know, man. I'm liking it. I'm liking what the Jets are going to do.
You know, I was talking to some other guys and felt like the Jets can make a wild card spot. They can be a wild card spot. Now they're also going to need some help, and they're hoping that it pans out well with these other schedules for these other teams that's also on the running. you know. Yes. But right now, the way it's looking, I think they're standing at 9th going into week 7.
I believe so, yeah.
So, like anybody says, any given Sunday, we can.
Yeah, and
we can definitely hit a 7 spot.
And look, ending the season against the Patriots, what is it, Dolphins and Patriots back-to-back, I think? No, it's Commanders and Patriots. No, I lied. Browns and Patriots. Ending the season, 2 AFC teams and against the Patriots with a potential Aaron Rodgers return, playoffs on the line, that's some storybook shit. That is some storybook fucking shit, and I cannot fucking wait for it.
This Knicks game is absolutely bonkers.
What's going on?
It is 93-91 Knicks with 5.5 to go. They came back. It's been back and forth, back and forth. Tatum got 32-9 rebounds. He's shooting the lights out. Porzingis got 21, shooting the lights out. And over here on the Knicks, Barrett fucking coming through. He started fucking coming through, 24 points, and quickly 5 for 6 shooting threes with 24 points. My man is draining them.
See, the Knicks are on board with our Jets playoff predictions. That's why they're doing so well. We started talking good about the Jets, and the Knicks are like, yeah, let's get in on that. Knicks playoffs, Knicks in 6, Jets Super Bowl, lock it. Lock it. My bets are coming back to life. I bet like $10 on the Jets winning the AFC East, on winning the AFC Championship, and winning the Super Bowl. $10 bet each, not a fucking parlay. And I don't know, if I hit all 3 of them, I make like fucking $3,000 or something stupid. If I hit just like one of them, I think it's still like fucking like $600. So we'll see. I mean, my money is still potentially going to make me money. We'll see how this all turns out. Anywho.
The potential Aaron Rodgers coming back.
Oh, my God. Do you know how hard I'd come if he does in the regular season? And
he said he was trying to aim to a week 12. I'm like, that's insane.
Look, I'm not going to be mad if he does, but I think that's crazy. That's crazy. Sarah was asking me before. She's like, what if Aaron, you know, would they really let Aaron Rodgers play in the final 2 weeks of the season? And I was like, if it meant the playoffs were on the line, absolutely. You're paying this man an ungodly sum of money. Of course they're going to fucking play him.
And all he has to do is just get the ball in their hands.
Yeah, at 75% Aaron Rodgers is way better than a 100% Zach Wilson every day of the week. Every fucking day of the week.
Nah, I'm not. I want them. I'm just hold him till next year.
And you know
what? Unless we make the playoffs. If we make the playoffs and this man can at least get a scramble at, you know, 75%.
Yeah. I'll take it. And look, he's still talking good about the Jets. He's still loving life in New York. So, I mean, hopefully we get him back this year. We get a Super Bowl push, and we can get him back next year for back-to-back Super Bowl pushes. That's the dream. That's the dream scenario that I'm hoping for. Oh, man, something on Twitter just almost made me shit myself. I thought I saw someone was talking about their fantasy league. But I thought it was the way it read. It was I thought the Browns were trading Deshaun Watson for Saquon Barkley. And I was like, yo, what the fuck is going on? But apparently that's a fantasy football trade. So everybody can calm down. Everybody can relax.
Damn, the Knicks are draining threes now. 99-93.
Good. Keep it going. Keep it going.
Everyone's in on the party right now.
Get it. Anyway, man, that's all I got for football this week. It's good to be back. I know it's a little late in your day. I know you got to be up early. But it's good to be back. It's good to finally have some fucking time.
Yeah. I mean, we're now every week till playoffs. The Jets got a game, so I can look forward to that. Our bye week is over.
Yeah. So
now I can look forward to the rest of the season. And I'm keeping up on these standings. I obviously got 6 fantasy leagues. So
yeah, don't worry.
Keep up on every week, man. I'm like, if the Jets continue this, I'll be watching them at least past week 18.
We're hoping so. I'm hoping for late football. It's been since what, 2011? Since we've seen the Jets in 2010, since we've seen the Jets in the playoffs. So, yeah, it would be a nice change of pace to be able to, you know, wear my Jets hoodie with pride in January. That would be kind of enjoyable.
So. All right.
Said what I said.
Yeah, we are.